All right, and welcome to the Sports Ethos Los Angeles Chargers podcast. We won't be representing the Chargers today, sadly, as we are doing a wide receiver draft. Brandon and Shane are with us. We did not select the Charger for this draft. Is that the only team we didn't select a player for?
Probably Patriots.
I think we have a Patriot.
Yeah, no Patriot.
No Patriots and no Chargers, so sad. Look, they don't deserve to be on here. We have 51 eligible players for this draft. Probably the biggest we've ever done in our history. 51 eligible guys for the wide receiver draft. Brandon, do you want to know what we're doing next week for the draft?
Go ahead, tell me.
We're doing head coaches.
Oh my God.
We're doing head coaches, including Bill Belichick. Yes, Shane thought of it. We're including Bill Belichick and like a few other ones too.
Oh, my wheelhouse. Let's go. I'm so excited.
So that's next week. But this week we're doing wide receivers. Brandon gets number one pick as Shane had it last week. Shane gets the number two pick. I get the number three overall pick. Again, 51 players. How many rounds is that? 17 rounds of action. Yep. All right. And with the first overall pick, Brandon Furtado, you are now on the clock for the wide receiver draft.
So this might come as a shock. And listen, I know everybody loves Justin Jefferson. I know everyone loves him. I think he's the most talented receiver. But I'm treating this like fantasy. And when it comes to that, there's two other guys that I consider right up there with him. However, I'm going to go with the guy that's most closely compared to him. And my first overall pick might be a little bit shocking, but my first overall pick, actually, you know what? I'm not going to go with the guy most closely compared to him.
I'm going to go with the guy in your mind right now.
Yeah, because you know, because if Justin Jefferson wasn't hurt, I would pick him. But he's now the injuries are starting to come along, and I'm getting scared with him. So I am going to go with. Screw it! I'll just rip the bandaid off. Give me Ja'Marr Chase.
He was number two on my board. Shane, where was he for you?
He was number five for me.
Okay, interesting. Very interesting.
I don't necessarily have a problem with Ja'Marr going one. I think the injury concern with Justin Jefferson is not totally valid because he only had the one injury last year and missed time because of it. Otherwise, he's been totally healthy, so it doesn't.
Yeah,
it doesn't really worry me at all.
It's just the fact that I'm also taking into account who's throwing him the football. So I have no faith in JJ McCarthy whatsoever. And if Joe Burrow, even with Jake Browning throwing passes to Ja'Marr Chase is fine. So it's fine by me. I can go back and forth all day between those two guys, but just for the health's sake last year and just who's throwing him the ball, like supposedly this time around, that's why I'm taking Ja'Marr Chase one.
Okay, Shane. We know what we're doing with two. Go ahead.
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, he was number one on my board. So is Justin Jefferson two on your board, Brandon? Or where was he on your board? Where was JJ?
I don't even think it's a matter of one and two. I think it's 1A and 1B.
Oh, I think that's fair. Yeah.
It's literally just the fact, you know, that I mean, Justin Jefferson is still so talented, and I love him, don't get me wrong. I'm just taking into account who's throwing him the damn ball. That's basically throwing him the ball, and the fact that, like, he has been healthy, totally healthy, but last year he missed, I think, more games than Chase has missed in his career. So, it's, you know, last year, I mean, listen, still 1,000 yards, still a fantastic season for the 9 games he started, 10 games he played. But I just think that JJ McCarthy throwing him the ball is just not going to help him. And, I mean, listen, he's still going to put up 1,000 yards because it's Justin freaking Jefferson. But Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase, you know, dynamic duo. Jamar Chase, to me, I think would have a better season next year. So that's the only couple reasons I can give as to why I'm taking. Because other than that, they're equal to me. So, you know, that's why.
All right. Number three overall, I'm on the clock, and I'm taking C.D. Lamb.
I like it.
He's my number three as well.
He's your number three as well. All right.
Oh, by the way, Rob, do we have our list so I can help you edit it?
It's in the email. I can resend it to you.
Yeah, I'm trying to open up my email again real quick. This is what happens when we do things live on the fly.
Yeah. I'll just resend it to you if need be, but
I think I have it. Hold on.
Yeah, it's the wide receiver draft eligible guys.
Yep. Am I in there?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah,
yep.
I'm in there.
Yep.
There we go. Good. We're good.
All right. So CD Lamb is now been taken. Okay. Let me make. And then, all right, Brandon, you are on the clock.
I think this needs no introduction. I think this one's pretty easy at four. And for my second pick for myself, and that's Tyreek Hill. I think that's pretty easy. The guy's literally been a freakazoid since coming into the league. Every year he just gets seemingly better and better as he gets older. And last year, I mean, the guy led the league in yards and TDs. So, and remember, you know, that's with Tua kind of having some struggles along the way. So, Tyreek Hill, I think, fourth overall is pretty easy. I think that's more like he's top five wide receiver for a reason, or even top three on some people's boards. So, Tyreek Hill at four for me.
Shane, where do you have him?
It's two for me.
Oh, all right. I like it. I like the speed.
I mean, I did a little digging at other lists, like on the internet, just to kind of see how I compare to different, you know, experts, quote unquote. And on every single one of them, Justin Jefferson and Tyreek Hill were one and two. So,
yeah, I think that's fair. Where was your overall rank for him, Brandon?
No, I had him at three.
Okay.
I got him at fourth overall, so that was easy. Once you pass on, I'm like, okay, I'm taking Tyreek Hill, no problem. So, because yeah, for me it goes Jefferson, then Chase, then Hill.
Are we good on our list here? Did I put everyone off?
Let's see. Yeah, Hill's gone now. Yep, you got okay. You got four blank spots, or three, four blank spots. Okay, so we're good. I think we're good.
Okay, good. All right, Shane, you're up here.
Well, let's see. I'm gonna go with the guy who I have as my number four. Your boy Brandon AJ Brown.
Let's go.
You know, physical, absolute freak. You know, has all the physical abilities. Just doesn't quite stand out as much as those other guys, but
yeah.
Still an amazing player.
I'm making
and
changes.
Number four for me.
I'm making changes on the fly. I'm making changes on the fly to my list. I'm putting AJ Brown at five. I'm actually making a switch here.
Where did you have him?
I had him at 11, and then I realized they made a mistake.
11?
Oh my like, god! I was about to say we're gonna drug test you if he's at 11.
But I moved him. But Brandon, I think you're gonna be happy with my next pick here.
Okay.
Because he's right behind him, and I'm gonna keep it because I think it's fair. Also, let's make sure that AJ Brown is removed here.
Where is he? Oh, I see him. Oh, you got him.
Yep. And then I'm taking the other eagle, Devontae Smith.
Give me God damn it. What? That's what I wanted. I wasn't going to take him this early, but
yeah, that's a reach. I'm sorry.
I think he's ingratiated himself there. I feel pretty good about that.
My hero.
At 17.
I have him just outside the top 10. I think I have, what do I have? The 12th. But still, I love Devontae Smith. To me, he's probably, I don't want to say he's the best route runner in the game, but if he's not the best route runner, he's the second best. Devontae Smith is impeccable to me. That's my boy.
I'm just quickly fixing my list as well right now. Give me a second.
Yeah. There's a few guys I want to pick for my next pick. There's a couple guys I really like, actually.
Talk us through it. Talk us through it here.
So, there's a few guys I want to pick. There's a lot of guys I still like. But I think I still have to go with one of the better route runners in the game. Even though he did have a down year last year, but kind of not on him. Kind of, you know, some concentration issues last year, but the team in general was a mess. So you know what? For my next pick, give me Stephon Diggs.
All right. Let me.
I got him. I see him.
Stephon Diggs. I had Stephon Diggs at 8.
Okay.
I had him at 9.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, there's a couple guys I could have picked there, but I'm not going to say who because then make it easy.
Why do I... Something is off here. Hang on. On my list. Hang on. I'm trying to fix this currently. Oh, wait. I got it. I fixed it. I know what's up. I was like, something is off. There we go. Hey, that's what happens again when you do it on the fly here. All right, so Lamb has been taken, Hill has been taken, Brown, Smith, and Diggs.
Yeah, we have 7 guys. Yeah, 7 guys off the board.
Yeah, 7.
All right. Are their names still on the list? No, they're off.
I can check, but I think they're good.
Yeah,
I'm keeping track too. If you say somebody, I'll say, oh, taken.
Yeah,
it works.
I think everyone's been off. I think everyone's off. Okay. All right, Shane, you're up. Go ahead.
Because if we do it that method, we'll be here all night. Let's see. Number 8. Is that what I am? Yeah, 8.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take the guy who I had at number 6. Being Devontae Adams. He
don't hate it.
I had him at 9. I like it.
You know, he's definitely not what he used to be. And I think part of that is the quarterback play. But, you know, there's no denying that he's still an elite route runner. Possibly, I mean, I would say top 3 in the game at that. And he's, you know, I think he'll still be a consistent one for Vegas or wherever for the next couple of years at least, but you know, he's getting up into his 30s now, so Father Time will have him eventually, but for now I think he's pretty solid.
Yeah, Brandon, where do you have him ranked?
Oh my god, why can't I, like, my throat's gone. I had him at 7, so you know what, I'm fine with that. You know, I love his game. Yeah, the quarterback play is what brings him out of the top 5 for me. Otherwise, he'd be top 5 because he's just such an elite route runner. Like him, Diggs, and Smith are my favorite route runners in football. So those are, I like the fact that we kind of went, you know, Smith, then Diggs, then Adams. But yeah, that's about right. It's about where I had him. So I think it's fine. It makes sense. It works. But I love his game, so.
I'm gonna finish off this round with Amon-Ra St. Brown. He was number 7.
That's
what
I wanted next.
On my board.
He is my 7 as well.
Yeah, so I had it 8, so close enough.
All right, Brandon, you are starting up the next round. Go ahead.
Oh, you took the guy I wanted to start this round. Oh, now I have to pivot. Thank you.
Pivot! Pivot!
Oh, this is going to take a minute. I got to pivot. But, oh, hold on. Let me just take. I know we said not to do it this way, but I need to, just visually for my own sake, I need to take the Montana off the list. All right. So,
he's off.
Yeah. Say, so there's a couple guys I can go with here. But I am going to go with the guy that no matter the quarterback, no matter the weather, no matter what happens, he's Mr. Consistent. He owns, actually, I believe, an NFL record. Actually, yeah, he is the owner of this record. And it will be a future first ballot Hall of Famer, hopefully, depending on what class he's in. And he plays in Tampa. Give me Mike Evans.
Mike Evans was at 11 for me. Shane, where did you have him? Oh, he's muted at this moment. But where did you have him ranked, Brandon?
I had him right. Actually, had Adams at 7, and then I'm on round 8. I had Evans at 9. So mm-hmm. I got him pretty much at a good spot. So I'll take that. I love Mike Evans. I want him to be an Eagle when he first came into the draft years ago. I was like, I want this man on in Midnight Green so bad. I love Mike Evans to death. He's probably my favorite non-Eagle in the NFL. So I have to take him now. And he owns the record. He's got 10 straight 1,000-yard seasons. He has not had a single season under 1,000 yards. So, and he's 30. So, he's already over the 11,600 mark. So, and he's got 94 receiving TDs already. So he's gonna. That's a first ballot Hall of Famer easily. So I had to take Mike Evans here. And the thing is, he's Mr. He's funny because. Even when he plays through injuries, too, he's been very, very healthy. He played all the games last year. He played 15 in 2022, but he's played 16 in basically most of his seasons. So I'm fine with him. I love him. I love his game. I don't care who's throwing him the ball. That's my guy, Mike Evans.
Shane, where do you have Mike Evans ranked there?
Yeah, I had him at 12. Definitely would have been higher a couple of years ago. He's an interesting player to me because when you watch, I think this is maybe a bold statement. I think he's the most underrated player in the history of the NFL.
And I don't think it's a hot take at all. I don't.
Yeah,
I'm not even joking because, and not just wide receiver, anybody. Because, there's never really been a time in his career where he was like one of the it receivers, where he was one of the top dogs that everybody was. But he's the only guy who, like Brandon said, has had all these back-to-back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. And he's just been consistent, tough, played through injuries, everything. And I guess the only reason, he definitely would have been higher for me a couple of years ago, but, he's, I think now just with his age, he seems to be slowing down slightly, like as dominant as he used to be. But still, I mean, 12, that's really good. That's a high end one. So, I'm totally good with taking him at 10.
All right, Shane, you're up here.
Well. Man, as a Seattle fan, it pained me to do this.
Oh, no. I think I know where you're going.
But I have this guy at number 8. And it's Brandon Ayuk.
Interesting. Ooh. Interesting. I have... Where the hell did I have... I have Brandon Ayuk at 20.
Wow.
Yeah, this was another guy when I was reading all the different lists after I filled out mine. He was also like consensus 8 or 9. And for good reason, I unfortunately. I think Debo is a better athlete than Ayuk, yeah. but just at the receiver position specifically, I think Ayuk is pretty special. I mean, his ability to separate and make really tough contested catches is pretty incredible. And yeah, I mean, there's rumors that he's being traded. I certainly hope he will be for my sake. but you know, yeah. In the meantime, I got to give him credit. You know, he's a hell of a player.
The two hardest players I had to rank were Debo and Ayuk, because I think of them more as like running back receiver hybrids than I do pure receivers for both of them.
Just Debo for sure, yeah.
Because of how the Niners just play with those two, so it made it really hard. And yeah. So, Brandon, where do you have them?
See, Ayuk for me is tough. Also, all this, my hatred for the Niners runs deep. We know that. And it only runs deep because of what's transpired the past 2 years. But
one thing Seahawks and Eagles fans have in common.
Yeah, I know. We're the shaking hands emoji.
And the Cowboys.
Who doesn't Cowboys.
Hate them?
No, Ayuk for me is 15th. I don't think he's in the top 10 yet. I think one more great season will put him in there. I just have him 15th just because there's so many weapons. I mean, he gets a lot of one-on-one matchups. So, and you know, like I said, it's like the Brock Purdy effect. Like when one of those guys goes down, he suffers, but then the rest of them kind of suffer too. So it, you know, it all kind of depends for me on, you know, how the flow of the game is with them. But Ayuk is still very, very talented. He's still a low end one. And that's enough for me to put him in the top 15. So I love his game. I love the fact that him and Debo are just that great 1-2 punch. So, yeah, I think 15 is fair. I wouldn't have him in the top 10 yet, but I think after next year, I probably will.
I'm finishing out my top 10. Give me the former Charger, Keenan Allen.
Still consistent.
Still, I think, one of the best receivers in this league. He's going to show it again in Chicago. So, Not a current Charger, but a former Charger in Keenan Allen to finish out this round.
I don't hate that. I don't hate it. I mean, it's not where I would have had him, but I don't hate it.
Where did you have him, Brandon?
I had him 18th, so I had him a little bit lower, but I still think he's great.
20.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's tricky for me because he's very, I think he's really good, but it's just, it seems like he's barely been healthy the last few years and he's getting older. You know, if you look at the situation he's going to, I know everybody's hyping up the Bears thinking that they're going to about to win two Super Bowls or something, but
it's just dumb, but whatever.
But, you know, I'm just saying, I don't think the guys, if you look at the guys they've acquired on offense, and then you look at their offensive coordinator, it's not a good fit. So, you know, maybe I'll be wrong, but I'm holding my breath waiting to to see. But, yeah, anyways.
All right. Brandon, you start up the next round here. Who's your fifth player?
This is where I start getting kind of dicey, because obviously this is where we start falling up, you know, outside the top 10. So this is where kind of guys are like, low end ones and stuff like that. And a lot of the guys that I'm thinking about are just older at this point. So it's tough. But I thought about going with a surprise here, but I'm not ready to pull that trigger quite yet. And I'm going to go with the guy. I'll probably pull the trigger maybe the next round. But for right now, my pick at this point, and the only reason why he's not in my top 10 is just because of it's really just because of the kind of drop issues he's had. But I will go with DK Metcalf here.
I had him directly at 12. Shane, where do you have him?
Oh, as a Seahawks fan, I don't really want to share where I had him.
No, please do. It's fine.
22.
I don't hate it. I don't. He's really hard. He's really hard for me to rank.
I feel sad for you just saying that.
Yeah. No, he's very hard for me to rank. Like, I had to think about him a long time. But, I mean, listen, the guy hasn't failed to put up a 900-yard season in the past, in the 5 years he's been in the league. And he still is a threat to get, double-digit touchdowns in a year. So, the only problem with him is just the drops. The drops is what bothers me.
And he's not a very good route runner.
And the fights.
And well, the fighting.
the fights and the route running.
But he's still, obviously, he helps more than he hurts, I think. So, he's still one of those guys that I love his. See, I won't say poor man's, because that's kind of a slur, but he's like the budget AJ Brown.
I think it's completely fair.
So that's why I'm like, well, okay, if I can't have AJ Brown, then I'll take DK Metcalf. So
I'll probably still take 11 more guys. Shane, you are now up.
Oh, damn it. Okay. Well, I'm going to take another NFC West foe. This time, Mr. Puka Nacua.
I wanted him. I was going to, he was next up. Damn it. I wanted him so bad.
That was going to be my surprise. I was going to save Fina this round or the next one. Oh, bum.
Okay, where did you have him, Brandon? How is that a surprise?
Because it's only been 1 year. Like, I know it was such a great year and it was record-setting, but it's only been 1 year. I wasn't ready to – I didn't think you guys were going to think of him, too.
Listen, Brandon. Regardless, it was 1 year. What that guy did in 1 year is special.
Oh, yeah.
He did was special, and he's only going to get better. He has supplanted Cooper Kupp as their number one receiver in 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
That's saying a ton, considering the kind of player that he is. So I had him at 13, by the way. So
I had him at 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. I had him at 14, so.
Because, and you know what? Just one more thing. It really pisses me off that I have to like him, because A, he's a division rival, and B, he was on Washington, and he left. So, to me, I really hate that I like him.
He didn't get a shot at UW. He went to BYU, and he started going nuts.
I don't care. He's dead to me.
Oh my god,
really great. He seems like a good dude. So
he is a fun dude. He's good at Madden for some reason. I'm not expecting that one that at the Pro Bowl, but he is pretty good at Madden himself.
I would think so.
Here's another guy who's a teammate of a guy who loves playing Madden, Tyreek Hill. Give me Jalen Waddle.
Nice. God, he's probably how I wanted next.
where did you have Waddle, Shane?
21.
I had him at 14.
Okay.
Brandon, where do you have him?
I had him 16, so.
All right. Waddle like a penguin to finish out the round. Brandon, you're up. Who's your sixth player off the board here?
All the guys. You guys have basically taken, well, damn it. Oh, every guy that I love, it's like you two have. And I got to pick first. But you know what? That's one of the problems with picking first is that you think you can wait another round and then you don't. And I hate myself. I mean, listen, I think our rosters are all great so far for wide receivers. But my God, I'm so pissed off that I didn't get AJ Brown. I'm so pissed I didn't get Nakua. I'm so pissed I didn't get Devontae Smith. I'm pissed I didn't get Amon-Ra. Like, this is killing me inside already.
You can't wait around with us. You gotta take him.
No, last week when we did the quarterbacks, I was fine. I like what I had. This time around, I'm like, Jesus, I hate my life doing this. Okay. So for this pick, there's two guys that I like here. And, you know, listen, I know D-Hop is still out there. D-Hop is great, but D-Hop is old, and I want to stay away from him right now, at least, once again, hold off for probably another round. I just think out of the guys I really like at this point, you know what? His numbers might not pop out at you, but look at where he plays. So give me Garrett Wilson.
Damn it! I had him at 15.
Yeah, give me Garrett Wilson. Listen, he's only got 7 touchdowns the last 2 seasons, but the thing is, he's on a horrible Jets team that does not, well, that didn't, well, at least last year, you know, Aaron Rodgers only played 4 snaps, but, you know, doesn't have quarterbacks at all. Like, the guy was catching passes from Zach Wilson, like, Strevler,
Mike,
you know,
White,
a whole bunch of Mike White, like, come on, man, really? And he's got, I'm listening,
the worst quarterback in the league, Tim Boyle.
Tim Boyle!
Oh, Jesus.
Tim Boyle!
Christ. Oh, my God, Christ on a bike. You know, listen, the guy's, he already has over 2,000 yards in his career. Aaron Rodgers, if he's healthy, should obviously help that. Garrett Wilson is still a very good route runner. He's got hops, too. I like his game. I feel so horrible that he's on a garbage football team, a garbage franchise, but that just is what it is. It's the nature of the game. So you know what? I love the fact that I kind of got him here because people don't talk about. I mean, they do talk about him, but not as much as they should because obviously the numbers might not be what they should be. But when you think about what team he's on, the numbers are pretty damn good. So you know what? I like to pick him here.
All right, Shane, continue on here. Where'd you have Garrett Wilson, by the way?
19.
15. Brandon? Dude,
yeah, that's fair. I basically split the difference, more or less.
All right. Shane, you're up.
I really hate you guys. Because for the third straight round, I have to take NFC West foe.
Damn!
I don't want to, but they keep falling to me. So I'm like, well, I'm not gonna be dishonest and take a different guy further down the list. But I gotta take the guy who I have at number 11, and that's Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, I figured.
You know, I mean, not the best, like I said earlier, not the best pure wide receiver, but just so gifted athletically, and you know. It's when he's healthy, the Niners win. I mean, it's simple as that. So, you know, I don't know what else there is to say. But I guess the only thing that's holding him back is just that he's not, you know, like he's not quite as good of a route runner or good at the contested catches as some other guys, which is part of what holds him down a little bit. But otherwise, a solid player.
Yeah, I had him at 19, and I had Ayuk at 20. Brandon, where did you have him?
I'm not taking any more NFC West people.
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody there's, really left.
There's one more that might fall.
There's a few more.
There's one more worthy one. But
well, yeah.
Yeah.
And if that happens, I'm quitting.
You're just leaving the draft. This is like last week when Brandon took NFC East players.
I feel like the more that we do this, the more it's going to end up where somebody each week is going to take just their division. Last week. It's Shane this week.
Where did you have Debo, Brandon?
I actually had him. Where did I have him? I had him at 13. So,
I put AJ Brown in his proper spot at 5, as he should be. By the way, I completely messed it up. I did this like 2 hours ago, so keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Give me Tank Dell. I love this kid. He only played 14 games, dominated the league. Wish he played all 17. He should play all 17 next year. I also learned his first name is Nathaniel, which is interesting. But I like Tank though. I really love the kid. I really do, and I'm glad he's with his man Stroud. So I like that a lot. But yeah, Tank Dell for me here.
Funny, we're doing a draft, but did anybody see that Nico Collins got the bag?
He did today. Well deserved. Yeah, so I had Tank at 16. Shane, where do you have him?
I'm 37.
Damn. Oof.
He's good. I don't think he's good. I don't think he's that great though. I think he's easily the third best receiver on that team.
Yeah, so. I get it. I mean, yeah, because he got hurt a little bit last year. I mean, it was only his first season, but yeah, that's kind of why I had him. Actually, I had him right at the quarter century mark. I had him at 25. Not to mention,
they played great without him.
Yeah,
it's like he wasn't even gone.
Yeah,
I was just like, okay.
All right, Brandon.
But, yeah.
Lucky number 7. What are you doing here?
At this point, I mean, there's a couple, once again, a couple guys I could pick from here that I really like. But I feel like, man, I think I have to go just with who. This might actually be somewhat of a surprise, but you got to think about who this is once again, why I consider, like, this might sound like a surprise. When you think about numbers, this guy's been very, very good for a very long time on awful teams. You know what? At this spot, give me DJ Moore.
I had him at 17.
Yep.
That's not a surprise at all. You had him at 13. See, not a surprise. None of the things you say are surprises are not surprises.
Yeah, I know. Just because I'm trying to think of like what the average NFL fan would know. Like they would, DJ Moore would be forgettable because he's been on an awful Panthers team and an awful Bears team. So, like, I feel like the average NFL fan who was trying to think of wide receivers, he would not be a name that would pop up until way later. So, you know, that's why I don't consider it a surprise among us. I consider it just a surprise. I'm probably the average NFL fan.
We're pros around here. We're getting it done.
Well, some of us are. Okay.
The Burns.
No, I'm just playing.
All right,
yeah.
Shane.
No, that was gonna be he was gonna be my next pick if you didn't take him. So, good job.
Oh, I finally got one over. Let's go. Jesus Christ.
But now at number 20, I'm going to take the guy who I have at 14. Not from the NFC West, thank God. But give me from the AFC North, Amari Cooper.
I like it.
I had him at 21.
Never mind.
I had him at 25.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely not. You know, to me, he's kind of like it's a little, not slightly worse. He's what's the term you use for like not as good, Brandon? I liked it.
For not as we mean
budget.
You mean not as
budget.
When you're saying budget.
Oh, yeah, budget.
Yeah. To me, Amari Cooper is kind of like budget Mike Evans, where he's never been one of the top guys, but he's just so consistent. You know what you're gonna get with him. You're gonna get a lot of yards, a lot of production, and you know, quite frankly, a lot of wins if you utilize him. So, yeah, but just you know, never been like not up there because he's up higher because he's you know with age he's climbing and you know he's not as definitely not as like flashy and talented and twitchy as some of the other guys. So, but yeah.
Yeah, again, I had him at 25. Brandon, where do you have him?
I had him at 22. So
nice. I'm finishing off with another guy from the same division, and Zay Flowers, sticking with the young guys.
I like it.
I had him at 18. I like the kid. Helped Lamar become an even better passer. One of the big reasons why. Like his speed, like his route running a lot as well. Brandon, where do you have Zay?
Excuse me.
You're excused.
Yeah, excuse me, dying. Thank you. Zay Flowers, another one of those guys where I'm like, it's still a little early yet. I mean, I love what he did last year, but I still think it's just a little early. Same thing with like Tank Dell. I have I have him at 27. So I like what he did. The letdown in the playoffs last year kind of hurt him a little bit for me. Otherwise, I probably would have had him inside the top 25. But, I like he's twitchy. He's fast as all hell. He just needs to work on his hands a little bit, and I think he'll be fine. He's a weapon there for the Baltimore Ravens. So, you know, I can't be mad at that. I think he's okay. I think it's fine. I like him.
Shane, where do you have him?
I'm 34. You know, just because, like Brandon said, it's just a little early. And you know, I think we saw some flashes, but nothing yet that's made me go, oh, wow, this guy's amazing. You know, so it's just, you know, definitely quick. But I think the rest of his game could use a little work. But
again, keep in mind, I do go through some projections for some of these guys as well. Kind of project a little bit mm-hmm. in the future with some of them. But Brandon, go ahead.
Well, you know, I think about it all at this point in our draft, and I look at some of the guys still on the board, some of the guys I really like. I'm trying to find some guys that are under 30. I'm not gonna take anybody that's over 30 at this point, or 30 or plus at this point. But I will take a guy that's probably getting close to it. And I just want to do a comparison real quick to make sure I got the right numbers in my head. Because when I did this, I had these guys kind of close. Just based on kind of age and well, not age, just based on one guy's a lot younger than the other. But you know what? For this, I know he had some struggles last year. Once again, kind of hands thing, but he still really hasn't played a full season yet. The guy's only started 20 games in his career, but Patrick Mahomes had over 1,000 yards. And if he had a slightly better quarterback, he'd be a lot better. At this point, give me Chris Olave. I like him a lot.
Where the hell do I have that, man?
I'm 23.
Yeah. So, wait, 7, 7, 7, 21. Okay, so I got him at 22.
Okay. Wait, Shane, where do you have him?
23.
I had him at 42.
Ooh! I would not have him that low.
I think some of it for me is the connection between him and Derek Carr. Like, I haven't seen that enough. In a consistent level.
It's just that Carr. Yeah. Carr is just not a good quarterback for him.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
like the Olave. But the thing is, you can't deny Olave's had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. The guy, I mean, listen, the touchdowns might not be there, but a part of that is Derek Carr. Like, it's like, I think Olave is so talented. You know, the guy is only 23. Also, he's younger than us. You know, he's still fast. He runs under a 4.440. So I like everything that he does. I just wish he had a better freaking quarterback. But it doesn't, you know, but I had to take him here just because I love, you know, he's young. So he's got plenty of years left in him. They got plenty of, you know, he's got plenty of time to play with a real quarterback at some point. And remember, I mean, I used to love Derek Carr back in the day when he first came into the league as a Raider, but he's just soured on me so much over the years just because he's just not good anymore. But yeah, I love Chris Olave. A little bit of a hands issue. I know I took DK Metcalf. I mean, these guys have a little bit of hands issue. That's why they're kind of falling outside of my, you know, my kind of ranges a little bit, but they're still phenomenal players that still can make big time catches. Olave's made plenty of big time catches past couple years, you know, same with Metcalf. So you know what? I'm fine with taking Chris Olave here, and I'm happy that I almost got it right with Shane. I picked it pretty much right where Shane had him. So I think it's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, I was muted. Speaking of Olave and Metcalf, I had this random thought. I was like, DK Metcalf should totally be our running back.
Jesus Christ. What are we doing?
Dude, God. Would absolutely destroy. But anyways, that's a different conversation. Okay, let's see. What am I doing here? Oh no.
I knew it! Yeah! We fricked him again! Woo!
All right.
You're so mad.
Well, I'm going to take my fourth rival at number 15, where I haven't ranked. I don't know why he's fallen this far, but Cooper Kupp.
I had him at 21. Brandon, where you have him?
Oh, my God. I had him actually at 24.
All right. Continue, Shane. There you go.
Definitely. Yeah, shut up. You know, definitely not as dominant as he used to be just because of age, but and injuries too. But when he's healthy, I mean, you know, he's one of the best route runners in the game, and he has glue for hands. So, I gotta take him. Gotta do it.
From one great route runner to another, give me Chris Godwin.
Oh, he's who I wanted next. And you know, it's funny. He was the guy that I debated with between him and Olave. So I like that. I like that, Rob.
22.
29 for me.
Yeah, not bad. I'm at, 26, I think? I think I'm at 26.
We're almost at the double digits. Go ahead, Brandon.
Oh, God. All right. Well, you screwed me. Because he would be my next. Oh, hold on. Let me take him off of our little document here so I can keep track of myself. And Cooper Kupp. Hold on.
All right. Thank you.
Well, you guys have been screwing me the whole show, so.
We've been screwing each other this whole damn draft.
Oh, my God. That sounds really bad out of context.
You know what also is bad out of context? The Deadpool and Wolverine popcorn bucket that we're going to talk about here soon.
Oh, God. Jesus. All right. Just to move this along, you know what? At this point, I'm still going to take a guy that's still very young and can still have some promise. And I think right now he's holding out a little bit. And give me Ja'Marr Chase's teammate. Give me T. Higgins. I love everything about him. Yeah, I love T. Higgins. T. Higgins, to me, is probably, I mean, he's part of, you know, the top three duos in the NFL. And we already have Smith and Brown gone. We already have Waddle and Hill gone. And I took Chase. So, you know what? That leaves me with T. Higgins. So I really like his game. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with this whole contract situation. And, you know, the only downside was he wasn't healthy last year. I mean, he didn't get to build off the numbers he put up the past 2-3 years. But I still think that, you know, if Burrow's healthy and he's healthy, that's going to be just a great connection. So I love everything about T. Higgins. I love his jump ball ability sometimes. He kind of shows a little bit of that here and there. But, yeah, because, the guy's what, he's almost 6'4". So I just love his game. So he's my guy there.
All right. I had him at 43. Shane, where do you have him?
I have him 31.
Interesting.
All right, Shane.
This is pick number 26 that I'm about to do. I still have a guy on my board at 16 who's available. And 18, for that matter. So I guess I'll take one of them right now. Give me DeAndre Hopkins. You know, definitely.
Yeah.
I have so many guys who are, well, they're past their prime, but
you gotta give respect to their careers, though. I had him at 27.
Yeah.
I just don't. I think, you know, the talent is still there and the size, obviously. It's just, you know, his age and his quarterback situation. And more importantly, the offensive line that said quarterback plays behind. Not great. But DeAndre himself, not bad. So, I'll take him here.
The guy who got his degree from Clemson, where did you have him, Brandon, here?
I had him just because of age. I had him kind of farther down, I think. I actually had him exactly at 20. So, or did I? I think I did. I'm trying to remember. I put my list away. But yeah, I love everything that he's done in his career. Just that, yeah, the age scares me. I'm still kind of, I hate to say I forgot about DeAndre Hopkins, but the whole PED suspension thing kind of creeped in my head. How he missed games there. Even though that's long gone. So, but you know, I just stayed away from just because of age. That's really the only reason. And that's why I wouldn't draft him. Like I was kind of trying to maybe push him back another maybe 2 rounds. But yeah, he's too good to pass up. Honestly, I don't blame Shane for taking him. You know, everywhere he's been, he's produced. So, you know, I can't be mad at that. So I love DeAndre Hopkins. You know, the guy's so talented still, even at his age. So love him.
I am going on projection with this next pick, taking the newest Arizona Cardinal, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay.
Yeah. I had him 26.
I had him at 23.
Ooh, not bad.
Brandon, where did you have him there?
28.
All right. So we were kind of right around the area here.
Yeah.
First rookie off the board. All right, Brandon, you're up.
Man. I mean, you know, this is kind of where we kind of get these are the rounds now that we're in where we kind of have guys that we know are talented. It's just that they're kind of not there. They're not where probably we know they can be, or just due to age or just due to a setback last year or whatever it may be. But I think at this point, and it's so tough. Oh God, do I do it here? Oh, do I do it?
Do it, Brandon.
Do it.
I think I'm gonna take. Is this my first receiver over 30 years old? Oh no, Stephon Diggs. Well, 31. Or is it? Is Mike Evans 31? How old is Mike? How old is Mike Evans?
It's like 30.
I think he's 30. Anyways, who are you taking?
He'll be 31. Anyway, give me your boy, your guys' boy. Give me Tyler Lockett.
All right, I have 29.
Oh, thank you.
I'm 28. So,
all right, 28 for Shane there.
Yeah. So I got him basically right around, 10, 9, 9, 8. Yeah, 28. I got him at 28. Perfect. Right on the money. Tyler Lockett, I mean, you guys know. You obviously right in your backyard. But Tyler Lockett is probably, I mean, I wouldn't say he's the most consistent, too, but just his body of work. In literally since 2018, when you look at the numbers, guy's phenomenal. The guy, like, for being a number two, pretty much, I mean, 4 straight 1,000-yard seasons between 19 and 22. The guy he can get you 9-10 touchdowns a season, even though last year was a little bit of a dip, but still almost had 900 yards last year. At 31, he's still producing. He's gonna be 32 in September, so basically 32, he'll be 32 almost this entire season, about 12 games worth of it. He'll be 32. So, but he's still, I mean, his numbers are, you know, pretty good. When you think about when you combine his return yards, too. I mean, I know we're not talking about returners, but his return yards get factored in, too, to how good he is. So, he's so great. Also, it's a travesty. Listen, we know Pro Bowls don't count, but it's a travesty that he only has one Pro Bowl. So, Tyler Lockett, lock it in for me. So, he's my 10th pick for me.
All right, I like it. Save Shane from taking another NFC West boy. What are you doing now, Shane?
Remember, get off Instagram while we were recording our show.
I can multitask.
No, you can't. I'm kidding. For my... Let's see, at 29, I'm going to take the guy who I have at 18. And honestly, I am shocked he fell this far. You know, he's somebody who has been one of the most consistent deep threats the last 4 years. I mean, 4 straight 1,000-yard seasons, and has some of the best hands and makes some of the best contested catches I've ever seen. And that's Terry McLaurin. You know, you don't hear about him because his team is...
garbage, yeah,
hot flaming garbage. But you know, I mean, I think if you put him on a better, you know, playoff contending team, I think he is thought of in much higher regard than that.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So, but yeah, that's just, you know,
yeah,
he's got. Yeah, Jaden Daniels throwing to him, cross your fingers. I don't know. So, anyways,
I had him at 28, Brandon.
Actually, right before 30, I had him at 29. But Terry McLaurin though, Terry McLaurin is who I would have picked if I didn't pick Tyler Lockett. Like him and Tyler Lockett to me are so close. So yeah, I like the fact you picked Terry there because I love Terry McLaurin a lot. I love, you know, Scary Terry. And listen, he torches my team every year. I hate him for that. But at the same time, I love his game otherwise. And it just sucks that he's been on such crappy Washington teams because he deserved a lot better. He's so damn good. Last year, the only knock on him last year was that he kind of had a little bit of a drop issue late in the season. I remember there was one game where Hal threw two passes to him to try to win a game. Like, it was, you know, down the field, about 30 yards down the field. He dropped both of them right in his hands. Like, they went to him twice, like, back-to-back, and he dropped both of them. But he's still a great, great receiver. And he's only, what is he, only 25, I think? Or no, is he 28? No, maybe 28. But He deserves better. He's so good. I love him. I'm happy you picked him, Shane.
Thank you. Thank you.
Here's a guy who deserves better in the media's eyes, Brandon Cooks. I like this kid a lot.
Thank you.
And he just doesn't. He doesn't get the love he deserves. He doesn't even get the love he deserves on my board. I would argue at 24, but he's been Mr. Consistent in the receiving class since he came in the league, and I don't expect that to change. Shane, where do you have Brandon Cooks?
I have him at 36, which I feel like that's a little low, but but I just, you know, I look at what he did last year compared to others, and there was definitely, I mean, even though he was still really good, there was definitely a massive drop. And, you know, with his age, that's only going to go down. So that's why. But, I mean, you know, if we'd done this a year, 2 years ago, he probably would have been in the 20s for me. So, yeah.
Yeah. And Brandon, where do you have Cooks?
Yeah, I had him dead on at that 30. I think that, I mean, that is low. I mean, if you would have asked me this question literally 2 years ago or 3 years ago back in 2021, he would have been in my top 20 easily. But just the past year has been a little bit of a drop off. I shouldn't say a little bit. It's been a pretty good drop off. Last year, it's funny, he had his best touchdown total since 2017. But, you know, yardage wise, like he's more kind of just your explosive guy to get to, now at this point. It's crazy. He's like, in just a fantasy, he's a touchdown dependent guy that you would have in your lineup. But he's still phenomenal. He can still have a couple big weeks and still be really, really good. Yeah, he's the most, I think I said it last year, didn't I? Or maybe the year before. I said he's the most underrated star receiver, I think, in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like him and Mike Evans both. So yeah, I came mad at that. I like the fact you picked him there. I like Brandon Cooks a lot. Just sucked he's a Cowboy, not an Eagle. I'd love him as a wide receiver 3.
All right, taking some guys in your division, Brandon, there on my team, but go ahead.
Yeah, at this point, we're getting to guys that, you know, now we're in this round. Now it's like, okay, when you look at what's left on the board, you know, there's some guys that are really likable. It's just that you just have a, you know, I think bigger concerns at this stage of the game. But man, it's really tough for me to let this guy, I think, go. And I believe that my friends would be, would hate me if I didn't take this guy here. I mean, when you consider who's throwing him the ball, he deserves better anyway. And I think he's still a really good route runner. I mean, he's tall. I need to do my Steelers fans, my friends, some justice. I'm going to take George Pickens here.
Nice, nice.
I love George Pickens. Love his game. I mean, the guy, you know, hasn't had a lot of help. I mean, his quarterback has been Kenny Pickett. So, you know, it's not like he's, you know, listen, there was effort issues, you know, in 22. But last year he went over 1,100 yards. He had 5 TDs. He actually led the league. And I think, yeah, now that I'm looking at it, he led the league in yards per reception. He had 8. It was 18.1. So, you know, he was winning the Steelers games almost by himself at certain points last year. So, you know, I love George Pickens. I know he's going to get better. The Russell Wilson throwing the ball should make him better, at least a little bit. So we'll see what happens, but I love him a lot. He's still a really solid route runner. He's got the size. He's impressive to me. And he still has the hands. So Pickens to me had to go here.
Yeah, I had him at 40. I'm still worried about the drop issues a little bit. Shane, what about you?
I have him 33. You know, I think he's really solid. Just don't, like Brandon said, don't love the situation he's in, and which is no fault of his own at all. I think it just holds him back a little bit, but
yeah,
you know, I think this year he's gonna rise a bit. just mm-hmm. given his situation. His new situation, I guess I should say.
He's only 23. He'll be 23 the whole season. So.
Yeah.
All right, Shane, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to take the guy who I have ranked number 24. I'm surprised neither of you took him, especially you, Robert, given how much you hype him up. Nico Collins.
Yeah, I like the kid, but he's low on my list. He is let's see, where is he on mine here? Nico Collins. I had him like really low. Where did you have him? Oh, you had him what, 24 you said?
24.
I had him 41.
Oh wow, that's a big gap.
I'm surprised. I thought you'd have him like in the 20s, considering how much you talk about him.
I like him. Brandon, where do you have
him? You have him below Tank Dell. That's surprising.
Oh yeah.
I struggled with him because I kind of just didn't know where to put him a little bit. Because I mean, listen, he got his bags, especially because he got his bag today too. So that kind of changed my opinion a little bit. But last year, even though he had a lot of good numbers, he was, the only reason why he got so many numbers because he was like their only healthy wide receiver. And on top of that, he still kind of had some drop issues too. So it was tough, but I put him at 32. I feel like that didn't, but once again, I feel like that's kind of just a product of like, hey, I think he's good, but I need to see a fully healthy Tank Dell and kind of compare them side by side together and see who's better. And I just need to see him improve his hands a little more. And that's why I think that he'll bump up into probably my top maybe 25 next year. Fellas.
A guy who I thought was going to have a down year, but ended up actually producing incredibly well. If you took the time to watch this abomination of a franchise, which I unfortunately did every Sunday and will continue to do, Adam Thielen.
Yes.
Jesus, man. Still producing. And he said his team was going to make the Super Bowl. Sorry, Adam, but you make the Super Bowl in my heart because, damn, he's a good player still, and nobody talks about it. I had him at 26. Shane, where did you have him?
42.
Okay, that's wow. Fair. Age. Yeah, that's fair. Brandon, what about you?
Yeah, and just his support system. Not great.
I had him at 34 because he still produces, but yeah, it's just age. It's age and he's slower now, so that's the only reason really.
Give us some comments if you guys want us to splurge and go to a Panthers game.
Oh no.
Next season. I mean, they're somewhat cheap. Anyway, Brandon, start off round 12.
Okay. Well, I shouldn't say I'm surprised that we're here at this point. Let me take Thielen off the board for us. But he doesn't get enough credit. And he's actually, he's had a couple big fantasy games for me, especially last year. And there's another guy who doesn't have it, who really hasn't had a quarterback throw him the football. But when he does get targets, he makes the most of them. At this point, right here, give me Michael Pittman Jr.
Yeah, I have him at 35, but he's still really good. Really fun kid.
Yeah, I'm 25.
Yeah, I don't understand, why people don't give him more credit than what they do. I mean, listen, I know the Colts are not a good team, but man, if Anthony Richardson's healthy, he's going to be scary to use with those two together.
Yeah.
Michael Pittman Jr. Is severely underrated. He's so good. He's only 26. And if you give him some solid quarterback play, he'll really start shooting up people's boards pretty easily.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would agree. All right, Shane, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to take a second rookie here. Right. I'm going to go Malik Nabers.
Ooh, okay. With Haniel Donias.
Tanya Ordonez, yeah. Which hurts my heart to not take Rome with Dunze, but I gotta look at it objectively, and you know, Rome is the wide receiver 3, Malik is the wide receiver 1. He's gonna get a lot more targets than Rome will. So naturally I'm like, yeah, give me that guy. You know, it's I have him at number 30. Totally projecting, but hey, who knows? So yeah.
I had him at 34. Brandon, what about you?
Double thris. I had him at 33. So
Thank you, Malik Nabers, for coming up with the name we're going to use for Daniel Jones this year. Good work.
Yeah, love it. Love it.
I'm taking the guy, unfortunately, a lot of legal troubles. He is getting some help from last I heard, but still had an incredible year. Was pretty much their only receiver on the way to the Super Bowl other than Taylor Swift's boyfriend. But give me Rashee Rice. And I had him at 30. Where do you guys have him?
I'm 47.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, it's tough. I had him at 36.
Interesting.
I don't listen. That's not because it's not just I don't think he's bad. It's just that. Oh, it's just like because he kind of had like a tale of 2 years. Like it took him a little bit to turn it on. But I mean, when he finally did, it was pretty damn good. I mean, I'm not even gonna make. I was gonna make a. Joke would have been too horrible. I'll make it once we're done with the pod. Listen, he's still really talented. You know, I mean, we hope that things kind of get resolved in you know most positive way possible. But at the same time, he's on the field stuff. He's just really, really good. I mean, he was a big reason why that team won the Super Bowl last year. Why those Chiefs won the Super Bowl. So you know. It's you look at those numbers in 4 games. You had 262 yards and a TD. So he left his stamp on the playoffs last year. So I like him a lot. I think he's fine. He just needs some guidance in his off the field life. But I think on the field he's very good. And if he gets back on the field, he should continue to grow and be really really good.
It is kind of tough, obviously, to take off the field guys, but. Or off of other issues, guys, but I'm willing to do it here. All right, Brandon, go ahead. Start round 13.
You know, there's a couple guys I really could have picked here. I know I say that often with these drafts, but I feel like, man, it's so tough. You know, when I look at some of the guys that I could have really picked here, but I feel like I'm going to go with a guy that has a lot of promise. Even though he's not the number one target, he's the number two, I believe, if I got my wits about me. But he should have another big year because he did have a big one last year, and he really helped, especially when this guy had his little injury stint. But give me Jordan Addison here.
I love this kid. I had him at 36.
Jordan Addison, we forget, he's one of the younger, literally one of the youngest receivers. Like he had a rookie year last year, but he's only 22 still. He just turned 22 in January. He's very young. And he had over 900 yards last year as a wide receiver too, and 10 touchdowns. 10. So he absolutely showed out last year. Being a wide receiver too on a Vikings team that you know people really don't care about, this is Justin Jefferson. So, you know, he's really great. I love his speed. And I love the fact that you know he's not the tallest guy and he's definitely very skinny, but he'll make plays. He made plenty of plays last year on a Vikings team. It just wasn't very good, obviously. So. You know, he kind of gets overlooked a little bit, and I feel like it's kind of sad, but he's so talented and so good, and he should have a good year this year, I think. I mean, listen, if they're going to double-team Justin Jefferson, it'll give you know, him plenty of room to do his, you know, work his magic. So, I like Jordan Addison here.
Shane, where do you have Addison?
I'm at 45. I just haven't seen enough personally to confidently put him higher, and I think given his small frame, I worry about injuries. But yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely potential there, so I don't mind that.
Yeah, I picked him at what, 37?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fine. That's about where I had him. I think I had him at 39. So.
All right, Shane, you're up.
Well. I'm gonna take a guy I have at 27,
okay,
who to me is budget DK Metcalf, who is budget AJ Brown, and that's Mike Williams. Now,
oh my,
a New York, now a New York Jet, but
he's the budget guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, the only thing really for me is injuries.
And he's going to play in MetLife.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That's why he's this low. But otherwise, I think he's very talented. So I think he's a great receiver when he's in there. I mean, he's one of the best, I believe. So, but yeah, it's just you can't ignore the injury problems, and that's only going to get worse as he gets older. Not that he's like ancient at this point, but yeah, especially like you said, Robert, playing at MetLife, which is a graveyard.
As Brandon talks about all the time, and he was just there for the Rolling Stones, which is probably better than going to a Jets or Giants game. So props.
Yes.
It feels like a prison.
So I'll take Mike Williams, though.
I had him extremely low because I'm scared shitless about him. 47. Haven't seen enough. Yeah. The guy gets way too hurt. Brandon, what about you?
Yeah, I had him at 42. So yeah, I worry about the injuries. A lot.
Buy him some Jersey Mikes. Maybe that will help him. I don't know.
It might.
it absolutely might. My last pick. Give me another Chief. Give me Xavier Worthy. Damn. He'll be faster than me sneezing. I'll tell you that much. But dude is super fast. I can't miss on that guy. Again, better projecting there. But I'll take him there. Round 14, Brandon, where'd you guys have the speedster Xavier Worthy as well?
You know, it's because of the whole situation going on with Rice, it depends. I kind of went back and forth with him. But I think where did I have him? I had him at actually at 44. I mean it's a little low, but he is a rookie, and I just don't know how they're gonna utilize him. And if Rice comes back, it all depends. So it's kind of like a gray area, so I kind of kept him low for that reason, really.
Same where do you have him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have him 48 pretty much for that same reason. I mean, you know, there's just a lot of unknowns for me. So yeah.
All right, Brandon, go ahead.
You know, I mean, this guy finally has, since a quarterback, I mean, he does, but he also kind of doesn't. And I'm...
I don't think I know who you're taking by that description. And,
yeah, and God, do I... Listen, there are better options, I think, maybe out there right now. But he's still so young, and there's still promise. And I still think that just get him the ball and let him like work in a different offensive scheme. And we're hopefully going to see that this year. Give me Drake London here.
Yep.
Yeah, I have him so underrated, and it's because of that. Because I don't know what to do with him. 48, and it's completely unfair, but I don't know what the hell to do with him.
Yeah.
It's, I'm 35.
Drake London is just, like, my God, like, bro, he had Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heinicke throwing him the ball. What do you want him to do with that? Like, come on, man. It's just... And on top of that, you were in basically you had all these impact players in a scheme that just didn't make sense. They weren't utilized correctly at all. So on top of having a bad quarterback, you had a bad offensive coordinator. You just underutilized so much talent, and I still think you got a ton of talent. So to me, it makes no sense. You know, A, well, why he's still out there on our draft board, but B, just, you know, how people kind of easily could forget about him. I know they can because no one cares about the Falcons, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, it's sad that I have him this level. He'll probably bump up next year, hopefully. He's really good. He just doesn't have a good scheme around him.
Oh, wait, I'll fix the list. You put Drake London for Shane.
Damn it.
Don't you take my players. Yeah, no. That's what I'm doing now. I got it. Continue. There we go.
All right, Shane, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'll take that other rookie that I didn't take before, Rome Odunze.
There we go, Rome Odunze.
He was 32 for me. I feel like, I feel like in maybe 2 years, he'll be the Bears' one. That's insane projecting way down the road, but that's just kind of how I view this guy. But as for right now, I've voiced my concerns for the Bears and for him and just how they may utilize him, which I have no idea how they will or what they'll do, but I guess we will find out.
Yeah, I had him at 32. Brandon, what about you?
I'm 32 as well.
Yeah, there we go. Wow. 32 and 32.
Yeah, I had him. Well, Chan, like, I know you guys love him, but, you know, I actually had him, I think, what I had him at 37. So close enough.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like what he does. I like what Belinda. Yeah, it's the only issue, kind of issue I have with him is just say, what are we going to kind of get out of him this year? We don't know. So we'll see what happens. He's still a very talented player. So, because we saw that, especially in college. So, you know, anything's possible this year, but now we're getting into the late rounds. So now we're kind of just kind of, you know, these are hoping and praying these guys are kind of good this year, kind of guys.
Yeah, I'm finishing out the rookies. Give me the funniest rookie in Keon Coleman. Give him some
damn
cookies.
Damn you.
Give him some cookies and let him go. He's going to have a damn fun you. Year. I'm really excited He's... about him. I'm really, really excited about him, honestly. I really like the kid. And, I mean, I expect him to be, like, honestly, kind of in fantasy, I'm starting to get more and more to the point where he could be a guy you could take in a late round and he'll produce for you in the second half of the year. You might have to wait half of the season, but damn, he's going to be a fun player.
Yeah, he's who I wanted next, so I hate you.
Where do you have him ranked?
I mean, listen, I still had him low. I mean, I think I had him actually exactly at, did I have him exactly at 40? I think so. I'm trying to remember where I had the rookies. I can't see it right now, but I believe it was 40, but it's just, you know, I don't think he's bad. Just obviously we got to be, you know, but the with the rookies, I had them all kind of lower ish, just because, you know, they're rookies. You don't know what you're gonna get. I mean, but Keon Coleman had the best, I think, combine out of all the receivers. So and he's the number one now because Stephon Diggs is no longer there, obviously. So I like him a lot. He's got a lot of great energy. I think he's gonna bring a lot of energy to that team this season. We're going to have to see how he plays. But you know what? I like him a lot. I think he's really good. He's got the side. He's a little bit on the slow side, and that might be a little bit of a concern. but he does everything so well, and we saw what he did, you know, at Florida State especially. So I like him a lot. You know, this guy has a lot of promise. Got plenty of size. He's you know, a freak, but, you know, he's a little bit slow, and that's kind of between the slowness and just between, you know, we don't know what we're going to get out of him. That's why I kind of have him in the 40s, but that's, it's fine. I think he's still a pretty good pick there.
Shane, where do you have him?
Yeah, I probably have him a little low, to be honest, but I have him 49 just because, you know, I do worry a little bit about his ability to separate from DBs. I noticed looking at his tape that's like the one thing that he kind of struggles with. And, you know, that's not going to get any easier in the NFL, especially when you look at the other corners in his division, like Jalen Ramsey and Sauce Gardner, you know. Those guys are not easy outs by any means. They are very sticky. So, you know, and just having him jump right into the number one role as a rookie, you know, I mean, I feel like he's up for the task, but I don't know. We'll see. But I could, he's definitely a guy that I could see jumping way up after this year, just because, like Brandon said, just his physical abilities and his size and his hands and and the dude is absolutely hilarious. Not that this draft has anything to do with that, but oh man, anytime I come across something with him where he's like mic'd up or what, I'm just, it's just gold. I'm like, yes, please.
It's gonna be even better during the season, because you know the NFL is gonna want him mic'd up every fucking week, and it's gonna be great.
Oh yeah.
All right, Brandon, let's finish off strong, shall we?
Yeah, let's get these, you know, these late rounds in here. For me, at this point, you know, it's crazy when, you know, years ago, when you would say that, like, you know, I'm not taking him yet. I mean, I might not take him at all, but, you know, it's crazy that we keep saying, oh, yeah, like, why is OBJ still on the board? But when you realize, like, you know, hey, it's not 2016 anymore, then that's why. But for me at this point, there's a lot of guys I could really, you know, there's still a couple guys I kind of like here. But I think of just who has the most juice left in them in these late rounds, and also just in at this point in their careers. And I think the one that kind of has the most juice left in them at this point, if you just, once again, get him a damn quarterback, and I think he finally has one now, Courtland Sutton.
Nice.
I like him a lot.
Yeah.
He's only 28, to be 29 in October, but, like, you know, his numbers might not quite be there, but he's had nobody to throw him the ball. Like, 2019, he had a 1,000-yard season. You know, the past couple years, he's been around, you know, a little bit over, you know, 770 yards each season. But last year, he did have 10 touchdowns, despite, you know, having a completely anemic offense with Russell Wilson, who at some points was kind of okay and some points was really bad. Bo Nix fixes that. And I think Bo Nix, listen, I can gush about Bo Nix all day long until the cows come home. But I think he's going to make, you know, that offense better. And he's kind of more of the quarterback, I think, that team is looking for. So, you know, him, Corey Franklin, and Sutton together can make a real nice kind of trio. And I just think that it's just important that he kind of we see this year that finally with a new quarterback, hey, what can he do? And give him some stability, give him a younger quarterback. Give him somebody that can trust him as a veteran option to get him the ball, so that we can see his playmaking ability. So I like Courtland Sutton a lot. I still think he's really good.
I had him at 38. Where do you guys have him?
I'm 43.
That's fair. Yeah, I think I had him.
But I could see him jumping up this year for all the reasons you just laid out. I could definitely see that.
Yeah, that, I think where'd I have him? Adam, where'd I say? God, I'm trying to remember all the numbers that I had in my head for some of these guys. I don't know where I put that list.
37?
I think I did, but I can't remember who it was for, because I threw the list away somewhere. I don't know why. I literally don't know where I put the link, but I don't remember saved it. I might have not even saved it. No, I think I had him at like 41, but at the same time, I think he's better than that. I think he can be better than that. The numbers might not show it, but he's very talented. So,
yeah, for sure. I'm gonna go. Actually, wait, nope. Shane, you're up. My bad.
My turn. Dang it, Robert.
We're getting to the tail end here.
Wait your turn.
I'm gonna go with a guy who I think would be a lot higher on this list, if certain things didn't happen. Because he was very talented at the start of his career and was really the talk of the league, rising quickly. And then once he was suspended for a year for a really stupid reason, he kind of
did betting on his own team.
Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, betting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We could allow him to bet on every NFL game and just see what he does.
You know, I think suspending him for, since he bet on a game, suspending him for a game would have made sense. I was like, yeah, sure. Yeah, you know, you're not allowed to do that, and that's.
We had less.
About a year.
We had less suspension time for domestic violence than we do for betting on games in the National Football League.
Yeah, a guy commits heinous acts against, 30 women? And is suspended to 11 games. Guy bets a few dollars on one game and is suspended an entire season. What the hell? Makes no sense. Anyways, that's besides the point. I think, had he not lost that whole year of... And he was out for... quite a bit of time. Was it the year before or the year after for a different reason too? Was it injuries maybe?
A little bit for anxiety and depression as well. I think he missed a couple of games.
Right. So, you know, had he not taken basically a year and a half off, I feel like he would have just continued to climb, but unfortunately that's not what happened and he's here. So, yeah, Calvin Ridley, he's 39 for me. A few years ago, would have been probably in the top 15. So,
yeah, I have him at 37. Brandon, wait, can we hear him? Is the mic working?
Sorry, boys, it was my first break.
Didn't spare him.
Sorry, boys. That was a live bathroom break.
Yeah.
You should have done it in the trash can like Joe Buck.
No, but see, listen. These things happen. Like obviously, when we do live stuff, it's like you never know what happens. Like because we're doing this in real time. This isn't like something we pre-planned.
I gotta be truthfully honest though. This draft is taking forever because there's so many damn people.
Yeah, we probably should not have had this many rounds.
No, I'm fine with it.
No, yeah,
but only somebody really... had suggested that.
Yeah, I believe I have. God, Calvary is another name I can't remember where I freaking put him. I had him somewhere in the 30s. I think I had him like 30, like probably like around 37 or something like that. Somewhere around there. Yeah, I was going to take him actually earlier, and I was thinking, I'm like, he's getting a little older. I mean, he's not 30 yet, but he's getting a little older. He will be 30 in December, and I just don't know what he has left in him. I know he's still really good. He had 1,000 yards last year. He really turned it on last year, especially because, I mean, hey, if you're coming off a suspension for a whole season, it's just that's, you know, nuts. He comes back and puts up 1,000 yards. But yeah, I just don't know what he's got left in him. But I still think he is really good. It's just we just gotta see what happens this year. And I mean, but the only problem is look who's throwing the ball down there in Tennessee. It's nothing. It's so good. You know, it's Casper the Friendly Ghost. So you know, we'll see. But I still like him a lot.
Yeah,
he is good enough to get paid a massive deal, while AJ Brown is not. So
That is true. Here's a guy who did get paid a massive deal that is aged perfectly, in my opinion. Give me Christian Kirk.
Okay. I like him. Yeah.
Are you being sarcastic?
What? No. I actually think that contract's aged quite well.
I think it's aged like milk.
Honestly, I think it's aged super well. I really do. I think it's aged really well. Like, look, his first year was good. They've gotten better receivers as time has gone on. But to be honest, for how much money receiver contracts are going to continue to grow, that contract is peas in a pod now. It's great.
That's fair. Yeah, I can't disagree.
Shane, where do you have him ranked here?
40.
Yeah, that's fine. yeah, I don't know. Again, we're getting to the point where these guys are not amazing, but they're solid enough. All right, Brandon, go ahead.
All right, last two rounds. Let's get these in, boys. All right, because I don't want to take too much more time. Give me Deontay Johnson here. Deontay Johnson, I know people want to harp on his hands, but listen, he's only 27. He still has, you know, he's going to be 28 in July, but, you know, he still has some promise. He's still, you know, he's another weapon pretty much alongside Adam Thielen. That's like, you know, that's not a bad kind of little one to me. Listen, they're not great, but it's something where, you know, that could be a nice little 1-2 punch for Bryce Young, really, and especially in his second year, kind of grow with them. You know, there's still a guy that does have 1,000 yards into his credit, and, you know, still has 25 touchdowns in 5 seasons. So, you know, not a ton of touchdowns, but still, he can still kind of, you know, he can get it there. He can kind of, you know, and remember, his first season, he had a lot of fumbles. He cut the fumbles down to a lot. It's just, hey, where's his hands at now? And also, you know, just where's his health? Because last year he wasn't too healthy. So, but I still think that there's some hope for him. I don't think he's totally as bad as people might say. So I like him there. Deontay Johnson, my pick there.
Nice, nice. All right, let's speed run this. Shane, go ahead.
Yeah. Johnson was 41 for me, by the way. Let's see.
He was 46 for me.
Okay. I'm going to take Gabe Davis, who I have at 42.
44 for me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's a decent receiver. It's just, he's just very inconsistent for me. Very up and down. It feels like you never know where you're going to get with him, so that's the only reason he's this low.
Yeah, give me a Tyler Boyd at 45 for me overall.
Damn you.
50 for me.
It's funny because that was my suggestion for this list was Tyler Boyd. Because I love him. But I get it.
One of your suggestions.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's actually still one more on the board. It's funny. Yeah, for me, at this point, still think he's decent and he's still a big name. You know what? I'll just say it. Give me OBJ.
I had him last. Yeah. Hot take. I had him last.
I had him 46.
I'll be honest, Brandon. I genuinely don't think he should even be in the league anymore.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
I just don't feel that way about him.
I think it's fair. I just think, but here's the thing. As a wide receiver 3, he could be a nice option. So I still think that there's something to be had there with him. I still think you can get a little bit out of him at this point.
Did we mess up or are we good?
No, we got it. Yes, 3 more guys. Yeah, wait, let me take OBJ off there. So, yeah, now it's just
2 more guys. Picking these. Yeah, there we
good,
go.
Good, we're good.
All right, Shane, finish this off.
Take the guy that I have at 44, and that's Jakobi Meyers.
Okay. Interesting, I have him at 50.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's just a... I guess to me, he's just a... solid 2, nothing special, but you know, it's fine.
Yeah, I like Christian Watson a lot. I'm happy to grab him with the last pick.
Mr. Irrelevant for our draft.
He's 51 for me.
Yeah, he's 49 for me there. All right, and that's it. That long draft is complete. We're gonna have a much shorter one, I bet, with the coaches, but That was an hour and 40 minutes. Good job, guys.
Yeah, that took a little bit. That way, I mean, how many rounds did we have for quarterbacks last time or last week?
Like 12 to 14, maybe?
We had 42 total. So yeah,
nine, bumped it up by a good amount.
Nine less players. Three less Browns.
Yeah, and the receivers require more explanation anyway. So it was going to take a bit longer.
Let's talk Deadpool 2. First, what was your guys' reaction to Deadpool and Wolverine popcorn bucket?
Not surprised, really. I mean,
yeah. Not surprised.
I'm excited to buy it. I'm going to be honest. I have the Dune 2 popcorn bucket here. It's going to be a lot easier to put my hand through because the Dune 2 popcorn bucket is just so annoying to put your hand through to eat popcorn. But let's talk about Deadpool 2. Brandon, you can go first today.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to take up too much time because I know, listen, I usually get long-winded with this stuff. But, I mean, we've all seen it a bunch of times. You know, and this pie has gone on long enough tonight. But this is just, it's a lot of fun. This movie is definitely, it's like the bigger, badder, you know, funnier. Like, they doubled down everything that was good in the first movie. You know, it's just, it's a good sequel. It's a really, really good sequel. It's funny that you know, what came with this is that there is a PG-13 rated version of the film, Once Upon a Deadpool. Which is kind of funny they did it that way. But as far as this movie goes, you know, it's one of those things where I can't find fault in it. I love the whole X-Force thing and some of the cameos that appear.
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt getting electrocuted is funny as hell. That's just something completely out of left field, but it's funny that they did it. God, is it funny? I love the whole
electrocution.
Yeah, but I love the jokes that he pulls with Negasonic and Teenage Warhead. I love that their kind of relationship kind of develops out of the film. They go from, like, you know, obviously really hating each other and, you know, crude jokes and, you know, all that kind of stuff to then by the end of it, you know, just, they do respect each other. It's like, you know, it's a whole kind of X-Men kind of thing. And, you know, Deadpool makes mention of that, but, you know, it's definitely different. There was definitely a couple. I'm trying to remember. You know, it is so weird about how they bring. They bring the whole orphanage into it. They bring the kid Russell into it. I honestly, like, the second half of the movie, I didn't think was as good as the first half. But at the same time, I still think it's a very, very capable sequel, or as they would say, capable. Awful joke, sorry. I couldn't spit it out. That made it worse. But, you know, I like it. The post-credit scene is still probably my actual favorite scene in the movie when he actually – and I made reference to it last week because I forgot which Deadpool it was, but I remembered it. You know, you guys remember it was this one where he – kills himself with a Green Lantern thing.
I love how that's. I love. I'm really excited to see how the TVA is going to deal with that. Being like, it was okay what you did, or is it not okay? I think that's gonna be fascinating.
Yeah, and obviously, the alternate versions of Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds in the post credit scene, which are, you know, obviously just really funny. But yeah, there's not much I can say about it just because it's just a really good sequel. It gets a little bit. I remember when I watched it in theaters because I was of the age at that time, and I did have my license at that time, so I was able to actually watch this movie for real this time. And I remember just thinking it was kind of a little bit more messy. I mean, it was still a whole lot of fun. You know, the first Deadpool was fun. This one's even fun. This one's even more fun. I think just because it's even just more silly. So obviously, Deadpool versus Wolverine is going to be funny. But I just remember thinking that it kind of felt a little bit crammed at times, a little bit kind of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, not crammed, like, not rushed, but definitely felt a little bit. They tried to put a little bit too much into this compared to the first one. The first one kind of, you know, did what it had to do and then got out. This one felt like it kind of dragged a little bit and kind of, but it crammed a lot in. So we'll see what the new one has, but this one was really good. If I had to give it a rating, I would say, well, first of all, Josh Brolin's great in this movie. Let me say that first. Josh Brolin, Zazie Beetz, you know, I know Zazie Beetz because as a fan of Atlanta, I've come to know her very well. I think she was really great in this movie. But this, for me, you know, if Deadpool was like a 9.5 or so or a 9 out of 10, this is probably like an 8 out of 10. It's not bad, but it's definitely, it's, you know, it's still very good, but I like the first one better. So, you know, there's that, but it's still a great movie overall.
Shane, go ahead on Deadpool 2, your thoughts on the film.
Yeah. I would also say that this is a very good sequel. You know, it's funny. To be honest with you, I think the first one is a lot funnier.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one was a lot more. I have better memories with it just because it was like, you know, it was like I just couldn't believe that I was actually watching Deadpool, like real Deadpool, not X-Men Origins Deadpool, was on screen, and just how good it was. But narratively and just as a movie, I think the second one is actually a lot better. I don't hold it in higher regard than the first one for the reasons I just mentioned. But I think, you know, narratively it's actually, I think it kind of pulls at all the emotions a lot better. It's much more, even though there's more elements to it, I feel like it's a lot tighter just because it doesn't jump around from now to past and then future. And it just like all, even though there's time travel in it, but, you know what I mean? It's like, it just feels more consistent, more emotions. And I think, you know, the addition of Cable is really great. Him and Ryan are just perfect bouncing off of each other. And, you know, again, all the self-aware jokes and everything continue to be fantastic. It's not even a complaint, but, you know, there were so many funny, like really funny, clever jokes in the first one. And I feel like in this second one, they tried to kind of one-up that and were just, like, trying too hard with some of the jokes. It was like, okay, that was kind of a reach. Like, that wasn't as, you know, that wasn't that funny, or, like, wasn't as funny as it could have been or whatever, because it was just so over the top or so, like, lazy, I guess. And so, you know, I guess that's really, like, the biggest thing that comes to mind, but otherwise, and I think the action is much more fun in the first one as well, because it's just so, you know, it's got the, it just goes with the comedy that came with the first movie, you know. And X-Force is just hilarious. I was not expecting them to all die upon landing.
Oh man.
And some great character building moments towards the end, which I definitely was not expecting, with Wade essentially sacrificing himself, and
yep.
Which then gets reversed because then Cable sacrifices his happiness, I guess, or not happiness, but his goal that he'd been working towards. You know, that kind of thing. So anyways.
Yeah.
And then we have the greatest post-credit scene ever.
Jesus Christ.
Or a sequence, I guess, would be the correct term because it's multiple scenes. But, yeah.
The extended post-credit scene with Adolf Hitler is beautiful.
Yeah.
So I sent that to you guys. I was like, you can't have this post-credit scene without that. Something that I wanted your guys' thoughts on, I think, because I was listening to Corey Jandru, who's a Serial Rejects, works for New Rockstars. He was talking about kind of what he loves the most about Deadpool as a character is that he's funny, but he has heart. And even Cable in this film talks to him about, like, we've gone through the same experiences, and you lean into the comedy because you're so broken. And I think this movie does a great job about that. So I was wondering what your guys' thoughts are on that, because that's really what I took away from this rewatch of this film.
Yeah, I think that's exactly, hits the nail on the head perfectly. I think the first one, it really captured, it captured kind of that, like, edgy, more comedic side of Deadpool that made him so popular. But I think this one really dove much deeper into, like, who he really is, you know, which I appreciated. Brandon, thoughts?
I often think about it as, like, it's almost like a magician, where it's like, you know, when you first see a magician performing on, like, the first one is like a magician's, like, show. Where it's like, hey, we know your routine. We know what you're about. We know what you're going to do. You know, you're funny, and just stick to that for now. And, you know, then once the show ends, you know, do your little bit and then get off stage. Whereas Deadpool 2 is kind of like, you know, the pulling back of the curtain of, like, or exposing a magician's trick. Like, hey, we get to learn more about not so much Deadpool, but who Wade Wilson really is. And it kind of feels, you know, I feel like that same way, where it's like, you know, we get to see kind of the man, quite literally, like, more of the man behind the mask and what he's all about, rather than just, hey, you know, the first one, just that darky, edgy, like, hey, it's Deadpool, haha, funny, like, haha, funny and violent. Whereas, you know, this one is definitely kind of more of a, you know, who really are you kind of thing. I mean, but still maintaining a lot of those kind of elements from the first movie, though, which still makes it really, a really, really good sequel. So that's kind of where I feel between the two.
Yeah, there are so many quotable moments. I love how we have James McAvoy and that young X-Man, which makes no sense. And Patrick Stewart, he makes a Patrick Stewart joke with Cerebro. I'm like, bro, what the hell? These timelines are so messed up. But it's fine. Colossus is great. Negasonic Teenage Warhead is great. Dopinder being like, I want to help. And then he's like, fuck. I think not only great character building, but even Vanessa, I think I give this enough of the, it's a good use of fridging. I think it's fine. I really do. But overall, I really enjoyed this film. As well. Any final thoughts before we call it a night here?
I need to mention, I think, the most unique kill I've ever seen in a movie ever. And that's when he sticks an electric cable up Juggernaut's ass and then throws him in the pool and electrocutes him to death. That's so... Oh, that's brilliant. It's brutal, but, like, it's great. Also, I was not expecting to see Juggernaut in this movie. Because he was not in any of the promotional material whatsoever, and there was like no leaks that he was in it. And so then when he showed up, I was like, is that? And then he says, Juggernaut. And I was like, oh my God, it is.
and it's Ryan Reynolds playing the Juggernaut. It's a proper version.
It is,
of it.
Yeah.
My favorite quote unquote, I said in quotations, my favorite kill is Juggernaut. So Deadpool, he's like a Thor 411. He says all these comics, and while you're charging me murderous intent, and he's like, I'm gonna rip you in half now. And it's like this really intentionally bad CGI moment of him just ripping him in half. And then Weasel goes, you're just straight shirt cocking it? Yeah, full Winnie the Pooh. I'm like, God damn.
My God.
Brandon, do you have a favorite kind of kill moment in this movie?
I mean, God. Jesus, I'm trying to think about if I had to think about it. I mean, God, can I even go back and just say, hey, the freaking Brad Pitt's death?
Oh yeah,
is the funniest damn thing in this, because anyway, it's a good cameo, but B, it's just ridiculous that it's just like, oh, it's like we literally did not, or at least, you know, for the untrained eye, it's like, you know, you just see a, what is he, like a floating backpack pretty much?
He's a floating backpack.
And then he just gets fried on the wire. So, you know, I mean, but all those deaths are gruesome. Who the hell was it that flew into the helicopter?
Peter's death is amazing because he tries to save the guy who spits acidic vomit, and then Peter gets acidic vomit spitted on him.
Yeah. I mean, oh God, the way in which those guys all die one by one is hilarious. And then just having, you know, Deadpool watch it all, it's like, okay, we're still fine. You guys are trying. It's like, okay, sure.
And then he's like, he tells Domino, like, your shirt brows are certainly not cinematic, when it's like one of the most great and cinematic moments in the damn movie. Shane, before we finish off, tell us the story of how you watched this film.
Well, first time I watched it was in the theater, but then a few days later, I was bored in my AP Gov class, because I hated that class with a burning passion. No offense, Mr. Sawicki, you're great.
You recruited me for that class. It was pretty fun.
So while I was sitting there, I had my little Chromebook that the school gave me.
Oh my God.
And
shit.
And I was like, you know, I'm not really worried about getting a virus on this thing, because it's a Chromebook. And it's not mine, so, you know, whatever. So I watched Deadpool 2 on 1-2-3 Movies.
Yeah.
During my AP Gov class. And he got kind of mad at me, but I was like, you know what? I don't care. I'm graduating in like 3 weeks. I'm coasting at this point, all right, dude? But, you know, of course, I was a respectful gentleman and said, okay. And then like a week later, when Solo came out, I watched that in the theater with a few guys from jazz band, of all places. And then the following week, I watched that in my environmental sciences class, which was also boring. But again, no offense to Miss Thompson. She was great. And I was not caught that time. So, you know, that was cool. But yeah, that was Deadpool 2 for my second time watching on the Chromebook. It was, you know, it was still a fun time. I was like, oh yeah. But trying to watch Solo during class, oh, that was difficult. But anyways, it's fine. So there you go.
Yeah. All right, and that will do it for Shane, Brandon, and myself. We'll see you back here next week for the head coaches draft, courtesy of Shane. And then we'll have some extra time, so we'll do X-Men 97. And Brandon, you'll have to let us know on text what sports movie we're doing. It's the Brandon Show for Movies. We're doing sports movies, classic sports movies. So
yeah, I'm gonna let you guys.
We still have to do our ranking of the movies we watched last year.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I know.
I have the list.
Thank
you
God.
Have to send that, to ask you. Because I don't have it. We can do that too at some point soon as well. But see you guys next week.
Take care, everyone.
Yes, sir. Take care, everybody.